from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
It's a great question.
That's a great question.
And that's a great question.
On 95.7 The Game.
Who's receiver two? Or receiver one?
That's a great question.
Who's...
And that's my favorite.
If you haven't already, subscribe to Willard and Dibs on the free Odyssey app, because you're crazy if you don't. Wherever you find your favorite podcast, while you're there, subscribe to Bonte and Joe, subscribe to Steiny and Goo, and you can check out all of their latest and greatest conversations. Tim Kawakami was on with Bonte and Joe this morning and didn't hold back. With regard to the San Francisco 49ers, this among the things he said.
I think the 49ers have misplayed this. There is a 49er need, and we're seeing it every year to try to win every negotiation. This is what they do. I think it's helped them try to keep some of this salary cap under control. We know how many big contracts they have, but it's under control. I think it's kind of, you know, building up some kind of amount of unhappiness with their star players. We've heard about it kind of under the radar. I think it's just playing out with IU. They're trying to beat IU in this. I think the Bosa negotiation last year might be affecting this. They got beat by Bosa. The 49ers do not, Farag Morata and Jay York do not normally get beat like they got beat by Nick Bosa. And IU is not Nick Bosa. I understand that. But I think that there's just some recriminations from that. And they want to beat Brandon Ayuk, and they're determined not to let get this to September. Like, they let the Bosa thing go, and they're trying to push the issue. And they might win.
I want you to hear this one, too. Check this out. Tim Kawakami on the roast with regard to how the rest of the league views what's happening.
Around the NFL, it's not, oh, gee, that mean Brandon Ayuk. It is not. It is. The 49ers are trying to win a negotiation again. No. And full credit to them if they do win it. But if they don't win it and it's closed up in their face, they're not all in for the Super Bowl. They cannot say that they're all in. They are not all in for the Super Bowl.
How about that?
How about it? And that's kind of what I've been saying all along, that I don't think that they are a team that can win the Super Bowl without Brandon Ayuk. But that's a pretty strong statement from Tim Kawakami, and I don't think that he's wrong, because if you're all in on the Super Bowl, you pay Brandon Ayuk, and then you kick the can down the road, which is what we all thought that they would do. And they still might. Feels like a long shot now that a contract extension does get done. But if you're all in, then you spend now and you worry later. That's what a team that's all in would do.
Well,
even if it's a reckless spend, you would do whatever it took to be all in this year and bring back Ayuk, make him whole, and go out there and win the damn Super Bowl.
I don't think you ever do that. I think that's crazy. You never make it about 1 year.
No, but I do think what Tim said about them being all in is, you know, if you're going to let your best receiver or your second best receiver walk over a few million dollars a year.
Well, not walking. He's not walking.
You're going to let him, you're going to trade him. Yeah. Whatever you're going to use as the term, if you're not going to have him play football for you.
I mean, would you have felt that way if he had done it at the draft?
It would have been different because you would have gotten.
See, they could.
You would have gotten draft capital. You would have gotten more that you could use right now.
Like, that's where I agree with you. I think it's a total misplay that the 49ers are dealing with this now. However, the simple idea of if you're in it, you pay him. Well, you know what I wish that teams could do in the moment, not on a podcast 5 years later, like Kyle did when he explained why they let DeForest Buckner, why they traded him. I wish the 49ers right now, because I would love this, not because I'm on their side, I would love to know what the deal is. Come out and say, if they sign Brandon to an extension, here's who's gone. And I wonder how that
they can't do that.
Of course they can't.
They can't do that.
But I'm talking about a mythical world where I wonder how many of your opinions would change if you knew what the collateral damage was of a Brandon Ayuk extension. If you knew it meant that Debo and Charvarius Ward and Lenore were all gone, do you still want that extension?
Well, what does it mean still, when Brock Purdy signs?
I don't know.
What's the list of guys who's gone?
Brock Purdy is a lot less replaceable than Brandon.
You're right, but it's the same. It's all the same.
But it's not.
Like, it's the same in terms of you're giving a guy an extension, and that means other people have to leave. And well, that's just football.
Sure, but at the like, I push back on the idea that the Niners, if they don't give Brandon an extension, that means they're not all in. Because if it meant that next year you've got to crater your team and lose three or four really key players, then it would be a terrible idea. Because I don't want the Niners to be about 1 year. I want them to be about every year. I've always said that. I want this team to dance toward the end or at least have a shot at it all the time. And if you truly believe in your quarterback, you should. You should. Teams that have a really good quarterback, they threaten every year. Whether they really, do they get all the way to the end? Do they get close to the end? You know, take Buffalo or Cincinnati as examples. They haven't broken through. They haven't won the whole thing. But they've got their elite quarterback. He's paid, and they're a threat. Every single year, they're a threat. And to me, that's what you're going for. You're going for sustainability and relevance all the time. I reject this idea that the Niners just need to be right now, this year, or damn it. Like, what? No.
It doesn't have to be right now, this year, or damn it. But I mean, you're gonna get into a spot where one of your best players is not going to be on your team because you couldn't get a contract done. That's not good. That's not maximizing the window that you're all in.
Or you get him done on an extension and three other very key players are no longer on your team.
Well, that's going to be the case anyway. So if you sign him to an extension, then Debo's... All we talked about was it's going to be Debo or Brandon at the end of the year. And the team knows it, which is why they drafted two wide receivers. So they took two receivers knowing that they're going to get these guys on a rookie deal, and the older guys who are expensive, well, that's just the cost of being a really good team and having guys that you pay a lot of money to. At some point, you can't pay everyone.
Right,
so that's going to happen no matter what.
Well, but it doesn't have to be Debo. Like, it does not have to be Debo.
It doesn't have to be Brandon unless you decide that you don't want to sign him.
I don't think that you can put $60 million into your wide receiver room. And I picked Debo.
Yeah, well, that's changed.
I mean,
and
it has absolutely changed.
We'd all picked Brandon, and I don't know if I would take Debo, especially considering the age and, you know, his tendency to get hurt.
I hear you. It's scary as hell, but I picked Debo.
Yeah, I would pick Brandon, and I would have picked Brandon, and the team now is at a spot where it doesn't feel like they're picking Brandon in any way, even to play on a fifth-year option.
They're picking Debo.
Right, and it's...
He's being an adult.
But you're not picking both. Yeah, that's from Mike Silver. The thing about you not picking both is what I think Tim Kawakami was alluding to when he said, you know, teams around the league would look at this and say, you can't go all in when you're letting your first-round guy walk in August.
Well,
and I agree with
again,
him.
Again, the August part of this, I'm in full agreement. But the idea that if the 49ers are truly legit contenders, they have to sign Ayuk to 5 more years at the expense of a bunch of other players, and we don't know their names right now. I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. You can't just sign him because you want to win this year. Like, I am all for short-term thinking, but my God, that's a little much for me. That's a little much to make it all about Brandon and this year or else. Like, I don't think you can think that way.
Well, I don't think that it does you any real good to think the other way, which is, well, we'll just trade him for a guard and a first round pick or whatever you get back. It's not going to be a receiver who's as good as Brandon Ayuk or better. So you're going to weaken your team this year, and then you're going to get to next year, and you got a 30-year-old Debo who's making 28 or whatever, and so. Well, you're going to have to make decisions on these guys anyway, whether you sign Ayuk or not.
It happens every year. My point is that I completely would have done this in April, and I don't think anybody would have had the same reaction.
I thought he was getting traded in April.
And the only way I'm agreeing with you is the fact that this is in August. But the idea that just like this A to B that people do of Brandon's good, so give extension.
What the Niners have signaled to us they've always done.
But except for exceptions like DeForest Buckner, and Brandon is the next one.
But that got handled in February. So
right.
When you get past April and you get to May, June, and July.
Agreed on that front.
So what are we doing here,
agreed
guys?
On that front.
I mean, we're in a spot now where there is no pivot. Your only pivot is to go to other receivers you have in the room, because I don't think that you're going to get Amari Cooper in a trade with Cleveland.
Probably
and I don't
not.
Think that Pittsburgh's going to give you George Pickens. And I don't think that Washington's going to give you Terry McLaurin. So your solution is probably going to have to be in the building if you part ways with Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah, I mean, look.
And that's not a good pivot.
They did draft receivers.
Yeah.
And none of them are shaped like Debo, by the way. They're shaped like Ayuk.
Well, no one's shaped like Debo.
No, but they're like, again, who I think those they drafted your replacement, they drafted Brandon's replacement.
Of course.
Not Debo's. I would love to have an ear inside the room of all those rumors back before the draft. Oh, we might trade either one of them. I don't buy that for a second.
Well, the Debo part came really late, almost on day two of the draft.
And remember, he said he had been promised he wasn't going anywhere.
Yeah.
I think that's all smokescreen crap.
Agreed.
Don't think this team thought about trading Debo for 1 second.
And that might have been to assuage or soothe Brandon Ayuk's ego, because it was all about Brandon. Will the Niners trade Brandon?
Or is it to play the return game with whoever you're talking to? Might be Brandon, might be Debo. We're talking to 27 teams, you
exactly.
know, like you're trying to, I don't know, but I don't believe that they were thinking about trading Debo at all. Let's go to Gene will go next. Let's go to Connor in San Leandro. Hi, Connor, what are you doing?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I'm driving home from work early, actually, and I really love this conversation.
Thanks, man.
I always love the conversations you guys drive. So, yeah, look, I think a lot of people are asking, well, what's Brandon Ayuk's leverage? And I think that Kawakami quote is exactly it. It's that this Harag Marathe stuff has a shelf life. It's the fact that if Ricky Pearsall turns out to be a bust, no one's going to remember all of this stuff about the cap and what we could do next year and all that other stuff. They're going to be thinking about the fact that there's this brinksmanship going on behind closed doors that's led by another spreadsheet guy in the Bay Area that's not actually serving the team or getting us to the Super Bowl. And I specifically think with Parag Marathe, like, I'm wondering how much does he make and why aren't we talking about that? And to me, that's Ayuk's leverage. He could turn this into a distraction and cost you week one, week two, week three, and as we saw last year. Those weeks start to add up. Look, we're seeing Brandon Ayuk's leverage right now. I really hope that they buckle. I hope that they sign him,
well,
and I hope that we get a Super Bowl because of it.
Thanks, Connor. I'll say this. Couple things on that. It's clear to me at this point that Shanahan has arrived at a spot where he's like, we're doing this. We're going to get out ahead of this. Because what everyone's worried about is, dude, is he going to get up to week one? And then, like, I'm still sitting here, and we're still playing
right.
stalemate. And Kyle's like, we're not doing it. We're not doing it. We're not going to September. Get him out of here. So it's sort of like...
I feel like it's like we're not even getting to Saturday.
Yeah, like it's cut your losses time, right, if it goes that way. Now, the Parag thing, Parag's like an offensive lineman. You're only going to hear his name when you're ready to get mad at him.
That's a good comp.
I want you to keep that in mind, because Parag has been awesome for the San Francisco 49ers. The fact that he's got this reputation of win the deal, you, the fan, have won because of that repeatedly. That's why the roster looks the way it looks. That's why the Niners, outside of the D Ford, maybe a couple other situations, very rarely are they stuck under a mountain of crappy money because of the way they have structured their contracts and the job that Parag has done. He is a very shrewd negotiator. And maybe the jig is up. Maybe Nick Bosa showed that Parag was licking the Oreo. You know what I mean? Like, maybe they showed the tell. That's very possible. Or maybe there's just too many good players on the team all at once. All of that stuff. But keep that in mind. I know that Parag's name is out there a lot this week, and now all of a sudden it's like, well, there's Parag guy. Look at all the people on the roster. All the guys they've taken care of, that was Parag too.
So, yeah, ask Kyle Juszczyk how he feels about Parag.
Well, listen,
to restructure and take less, and he's not thrilled about
right,
it.
Right, but and I'm sure plenty of guys have not been thrilled. What company has employees right. who are all running around being like, I love the company. They paid me exactly what I wanted.
You know, Parag's whole, got to win the deal thing, it may be coming back to haunt him a little bit.
Tiresome, sure.
And if it burns you on this one, and you go out there and you don't win as many football games, he's going to be somebody who is blamed.
No doubt.
Because
and deservedly.
Right. And this is a deal that should have gotten done a long time ago. And, whatever happened, and I said this in the beginning of free agency, it behooves them to do this early.
Yep.
Because when these other deals start coming in, and I didn't think they'd come in quite that hot, and forget Justin Jefferson, because that's just ridiculous.
Nobody's asking for Justin money.
No,
yet.
But I mean, I won't even count him in the resetting of the market because his number is so far and beyond the pale. But the other contracts came in a lot hotter than the Niners probably would have thought. And so Parag's win the deal, hard line, we're going to grind you all the way into August. Well, it blew up in your face, and now it backfired. And now we're talking about trade destinations for a guy that doesn't want to be traded deep down, and they don't want to trade.
Yeah, real quick on the Justin thing. First of all, he's the best receiver in the game, and his timing was absolutely perfect, and they chose him over Kirk Cousins. So how perfect is it that Justin Jefferson needs a new deal right as the Vikings are resetting their quarterback number? They drafted J.J. McCarthy. So now that means the whole life of the deal that Justin just signed
rookie QB
comes at a time where you're not paying a QB.
Good call.
So believe me, if the Niners had drafted a QB this year, Brandon Ayuk would be on the field.
If this was Brock Purdy's rookie year,
of course.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
And timing is a lot in all these deals, but Parag knew coming out of the Super Bowl, you knew what you had to get done. And the biggest one you had to get done was Brandon Ayuk. And here we sit. And not only is it not done, it feels like it's broken to the point where it won't get done. And now we're only talking about not if he's going to get paid, but who will pay him.
Right.
And it won't be the Niners. So it just is a little bit. And you're right about Parag and all the deals. And you should also give credit to Jed York
for sure.
Coming up with the money to make these restructures actually happen, because a lot of it is cash on the table and then players will restructure because they get paid up front. And yet Ayuk sees all these different things, and McCaffrey gets his Halloween candy, and Debo gets a truckload, and Bosa resets the market, and he's sitting here thinking, they say they don't want me.
Yeah.
They say they don't want me.
Man. I mean, at the core of all of this, we can sit here and say the Niners misplayed it or they're not all in or whatever. Like we can say all of this stuff. All of this is the result, in my opinion, of the fact that the Niners have done a really good job.
Like drafting and winning.
Look at this roster. And so now it becomes overwhelming because everybody wants theirs and everybody's got big name value. And that's a problem for sure. But I don't think there's really anyone in the front. You can't be like, well, the Niners front office is just a big clown show. We're here because they've got oodles of good players.
Right.
Which
players
means they're
that
drafting.
They want to keep and pay.
It means they're developing. It means they're nailing trades. It means they're nailing free agency. It's all of that. So somewhere in there, tucked into this, has got to be some credit.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Credit.
Yeah.
If you want to add up wins and losses, they don't have a lot of losses in the front office spreadsheet.
No.
But this is a big one. If you lose Brandon Ayuk
in August,
in a year, in August, when you are fancying yourself as a Super Bowl favorite in a franchise that hasn't won in three decades, and this is the way you're going to go into the season, that's a bad one.
Agreed. Gene,
if it happens.
Yeah. Gene in Oakland. Hi, Gene. What are you doing?
I'm at the dog park.
Hi, fellas. Yeah, I am at the dog park, actually. I got my wife throwing the ball, so, you know, she's stepping in for me.
Oh, good.
All right, hey, listen. Yeah. Hey, the only thing, once again, I've said this over and over, that makes sense to me is that he signs and they'll have a contract, you know, done by, I'm thinking, 7 to 10 days, all right? Because this is what happens every time. It's what happened with the other four big contracts and anything else just doesn't make sense. You know, you've already gone through all the other options. You're not going to get Pickens from Pittsburgh, and that's the only trade that would make sense for us. You're not going to get you might get Amari Cooper from Cleveland, but that's more money and a step down. You know, Devontae Adams isn't leaving the Raiders. I think they're going through all this trade stuff just to show that none of this is going to work for Ayuk. So,
Gene, your optimism is very stubborn. Has anyone ever told you that?
Well, I think in this case it's pragmatism because nothing else makes sense.
Well, I might agree with you. I looked at this the very same way, but when you compared this to other negotiations and you said, hey, this will work out because this is the way it always goes, I don't think any of the other ones ever sounded and felt like this. This is absolutely unprecedented that a 49er homegrown star is being given permission to negotiate with other teams in August. That's never happened before, Gene.
Yeah, but once again, all the other options make less sense, including Ayuk really.
Whoop.
Less of a chance to win a Super Bowl. I mean, I don't know. I'm scratching my head over this. I still think they're going to get it done. They'll sit down. They'll hammer it out. You know, they'll come to compromise, and it'll get done.
Yeah, Gene, thanks.
Yeah. I would have bought that call last week, but, Gene, it just doesn't feel like that is even a thought on either side. If there's been no conversation of note since May, and, you know, Shanahan is this annoyed, and Ayuk is looking to be traded, and they're shopping for other destinations, the last thing that I foresee is the two sides sitting down at the table and trying to figure out how to find middle ground.
Feels like it would be surprising at this point.
Feels like that ship has sailed.
I hope that he is right. Yeah. But that feels a little overly optimistic, and that's coming from the biggest optimist who's ever lived.
You're very optimistic, yeah. And I think the only other scenario that could happen is, you know, the Pittsburgh trade the Niners don't want to do, and the New England deal Ayuk doesn't want to take, and the Cleveland one doesn't work out, and you start to get, well, Washington, well, they're not going to give the Niners enough. So you go through all four of these scenarios, and they don't want to do an extension. So maybe he has to just swallow hard and actually play football on the fifth-year option. I do think that there's still a chance that that happens.
Well,
there's already so much water under the bridge?
Maybe. I just don't know. Okay, if this has gotten to the point, you remember, you know, we mentioned Mike Silver earlier calling it a war of wills. If that's what this is, because Kyle said today, like, we haven't talked since May. All right, so if you haven't talked since May, we're all sitting here talking about a contract negotiation that nobody's negotiating. Who the hell's negotiating? Nobody's even talking to each other. All you're doing is ticking each other off. That's not negotiating. That's not contract talks. That's who can yell F you the loudest. So if that's what we're doing, well, now we've got a very, very different reality and a different conversation about what's going on. And that's where the idea of just play on the fifth-year option becomes scary. Because, yes, the Niners could treat Brandon like one of their kids. Get your butt in the wide receiver room,
man.
Grab your pads, and get out there. And if he's like, no, fine, you go to your room. You stay there. And then we just sit. And the Niners play football games, and Brandon loses millions and millions of dollars.
Well, he gets paid this year.
Right. Well, we'll see, potentially.
Yeah.
Like, does he suit up?
Well, all he has to do is show up.
Yeah,
he can suit up.
He's got to. Well, but if he shows up and suits up, the Niners will put him out there.
Well,
and if he dogs, you know, it, then he's really losing millions because there's no other NFL team that's going to pay him after that kind of behavior.
Yeah, it's less likely.
So it's this war of wills that's going on.
That's right.
Okay, well, if that's what's going on, then yeah, it just at a certain point becomes like, how long do we want to just sit here and have this fight? And at what point does it become a net negative when the season starts?
Well, I think it's already there.
And I think Kyle might agree.
And that's where, you know, you talk about a net negative, and the 49ers will practice tomorrow. And after the practice, I don't think he's scheduled to talk. I'll have to check my email. But, you know, no matter when he's supposed to talk again, the questions will come up. No, tomorrow's a Nick Sorensen and then Chris Foerster on Thursday. So Shanny's clear until after the game on Saturday. But every time he is required to step to the microphone, the questions will be about Brandon Ayuk more than they will be about, hey, how about that third down play today?
Possibly.
Mike in Santa Clara, weigh in. Hey, Mike, thanks for calling Willard and Dibs. What's up?
Thanks, guys. Great to hear from you again. I have to disagree with the last two callers, especially. Trent Williams is the number one option out of the two. I think Ayuk just, you know, look, he has no leverage whatsoever. Trent, you have the best left tackle in the game. And I said it even yesterday on Steiny and Guru, like, how is Brock Purdy going to be able to throw the damn ball if he doesn't have his blind side protected? You need to take care of the quarterback, especially when you're trying to sign. If he's going to be ready for a new contract, he needs to be the one that needs to be taken care of. And you know what? If Ayuk doesn't want to play, you know what? That's on him. If he doesn't want to play, or if he ends up slacking on his playing production, that's going to cost him, like you said, Willard, just millions and millions of dollars. So he has no leverage whatsoever. If he doesn't want to go to the Patriots, oh, I'm sorry. You know what? Cry about it more, you big baby. Seriously. At the same time, like, I mean, it's for real. You know what? You're playing in the NFL. You're making millions of dollars. Make it happen, okay? You want your money? Then prove it. And I know he had a great season, one season. That's it. And so, I mean,
Mike, it's been three seasons.
Mike, he's been pretty damn consistent.
I do want to say that some of the hypotheticals we've talked about earlier, we don't know to be reality. I don't know that Brandon Ayuk has said no to the New England Patriots. He's reportedly still weighing options. So, you know, I get a little uncomfortable with the whole calling him a big baby thing. This is what I said. There's a lot of ifs, thens involved in what. And thanks, Mike. Appreciate it. If Brandon Ayuk got to a point where he's demanding a trade and the 49ers have a trade in place and the team that is acquiring Brandon is willing to meet his stated financial goal and Brandon says no, then if all of those things were true, then I would say, Brandon, you're not doing this in good faith. You're trying to force free agency when you're not a free agent, and that's not fair. That's not okay. Wouldn't call him a big baby. If he wants his money, go for the money. But yes, if you're under contract with an employer, they won't meet your financial goals. You ask for them to send you somewhere else that will meet your financial goals. Then you go where you go. Like, Brandon basically is essentially saying, I want to go where I want to go, and damn the compensation that you get in return. It's like, well, hold on a second.
That's not the way this works. But he does have a certain amount of power. You can call it leverage. You can call it whatever you want. But he has the ability to exercise his right to either sign or not sign, regardless of what the money is. New England could offer more money than Pittsburgh, and he can just not want to go to New England because he sees the quarterback situation, and he sees the fact that that team's not very good, and so he can just let it be known that he won't sign an extension with that team. And now you can call him whatever you want to call him. It's ultimately his career, and he has to make the decisions that he thinks are best for himself. And so you know, maybe it isn't just money that is the big determinant. And if it is, I want to go to this one team or maybe two teams and go play with my buddy in Washington. That may not work for the Niners.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure they're trying to make this work for both sides. If they are set like, okay, we're going to have to trade Brandon Ayuk. This is just not going to work here. The Niners' number one job, their number one goal is to win the trade and try to get as much back as they can. Their second goal would be to let him go somewhere where he can be happiest, because that's what you're trying to do. But first and foremost,
probably was what they were
trying to
do.
Get the compensation.
I don't think that they don't feel motivated to me to be like, well, make sure Brandon ends up somewhere that he likes. I don't think they care about that at all.
Well, their first goal is always going to be to get the best trade compensation. Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. But obviously, the acquiring team is going to need Brandon to agree to sign, or else there's no point. There's no deal.
There's no deal.
You know, I mean, the latest report out there is that the Steelers are back in, but make no mistake, the reason the Steelers are not already done is because whatever they've offered the Niners has been, in the Niners' eyes, nothing special. So that's a no. You know, you could also look at it this way. Let's say everybody's desires don't get met. There's no spot that both satisfies Brandon and the Niners. All right? What happens? Who loses?
Well, they all lose. Because
do they?
Well, Brandon.
Or does Brandon grab the number 11 jersey and get on the field?
That's what he does.
Okay.
And I don't know what he does to go about. Now, TJ Houshmandzadeh, his personal coach, told us that he's going to play ball. He's going to get out there and he's going to play. If worst comes to worst, BA's going to play football. He's going to go out there and put his helmet on and play football and get $800,000 a game or whatever the number is. It's right about that, and change. And he'll go out there and ball out. And, you know, what does it do to the locker room? What does it do to the wide receiver room? What does it do to a lot of things? Does Brandon Ayuk act differently? Does he show frustration when he's not getting the ball as much as he'd like? And, you know, it might cast a pall over the year. All eyes would be on Brandon and Kyle Shanahan just trying to see.
Yeah, you don't want that.
No, you don't.
You don't want that.
And you get into a situation where, you know, he subbed out for Ricky Pearsall and everyone, Brandon Ayuk was not in there. They got in the red zone and he took out Ayuk because he wants to keep Brandon down. He wants to keep Brandon's numbers down. He's out to get Brandon.
Like the Niners, I think, have prided themselves, I think. I don't know this, but it has felt, at least from the outside, that during the Kyle Shanahan era, the locker room has been a very, very good place to be.
Oh, yeah, it's been incredible.
Like everybody, you know, even Nick Bosa. Nick Bosa, I guess, spoke today, and they asked him, hey, when you were in your little holdout thing going on last year, did you ever think that you were going to be traded? He was like, yes. And his mother told us that right when it ended last year.
No, come on.
No, you did right after the omelets.
Oh, yikes.
Exactly. So anyway.
How do you have those so ready?
I know, that was wild.
That's creepy.
Anyway, Nick was like, yes, it got really crazy in the end. But his larger point was, but I'm really glad it didn't go that way because this is an awesome place to be. This is where I want to be.
So I'm ecstatic about that.
Okay, so even when you've got players who are like, I love all my teammates. I love that we're good. I love the coaching staff. They may be privately upset at the front office upstairs. Those guys think they win every deal. Bleep those guys. And they're probably high-fiving Bosa. Bosa's like, I busted their system. And every player's like, yeah, we're doing it next year. And here we go. But at the end of all of this, yeah, like, it's a good place to be. And people look like they're getting along and pushing in the same direction. Kyle doesn't want someone in the locker room who's pushing in the wrong direction. And that's the problem here.
Yeah, that is the problem. And right now, just by his very presence in the locker room, it is a pall that's hanging over the team because they all see that Brandon Ayuk is there and they know that he's healthy and they know why he's there and why he's not playing. And you never want to count another person's pockets. You never want to talk about somebody else's money, but you're out there busting your hump and sweating and doing drills, and you've got this guy in street clothes just kind of chilling. There's got to be a little bit of resentment in the room. It's human nature.
I would think, yeah. Derek and San Mateo next up. Hi, Derek. What are you doing?
I'm enjoying the conversation. I hate the situation because I love Niners and DA, but this sucks. But it makes for great radio, right?
Yeah, so, I guess. You tell me.
It makes for great radio. Brandon, he's just being way too dramatic, and then way too prideful. Because I think that, you know, when you ask any major league player in any sport, what do you want to do when you get here? They're like, I want to win championships. And Brandon Ayuk is on a team that has the best chance to win a Super Bowl. And he's entertaining the thought of being traded to the Patriots? You know, just for more money, and I don't know. There's a lot of other factors. Sure, maybe he'll be happier, I guess, but you're losing out on the best opportunity for you to win a championship, and that is crazy to me, absolutely crazy. You can make a lot of money on a team that's never going to win, and, I mean, hello, Davante Adams? Hello?
Davante Adams is somebody making, you know, upwards of $28 million a year. Like, Derek, and thank you very much. Players always say they want to win championships. They do. But think what you're asking Brandon to do there. Now, that's where I'll side with Brandon. You're like, hey, you could make $14 million and go for a championship. Or the other thing is, someone with a young family, you can be guaranteed $65 million and probably make well over $100 to go play and not play for a championship, at least not right away. What would you choose?
Right.
I'll go play for the fourth place company in the market if they want to, like, quintuple my dollars.
And guarantee you lifetime riches.
And, by the way, my job carries with it the threat of my career being over on every single play.
Exactly.
Come on, man.
It's unfair to ask these guys to do that. Now, when Tom Brady takes less as a 35-year-old, and also, incidentally, as the second highest earner in his own household.
Right.
So the $14 million that he was making was dwarfed by what Giselle was making. I make way more than you, Tommy. That's my Giselle.
Giselle. Yeah,
nobody likes it but me.
I don't think people in the sports world have heard Giselle enough to know if your impression is good or not.
It's better than a two.
It sounds like a little old housekeeper. I don't know. I don't hear Giselle talk a lot.
Yeah.
I don't think men hear Giselle.
Ever.
I think they see her.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Not so much anymore, though.
Correct. Let's go to Alan in Marin. Hi, Alan. You're next up. What's good?
Hey, guys. Semi-regular caller. You probably don't remember, but I called you guys a couple months ago right before the draft, and I said you were triggered, Willard, because at the time, the conventional wisdom was leverage was pretty even on between Ayuk's position and the 49ers' position. I got to say, man, you were completely right then. I don't know how you were right. Probably because fair amount of homerism, you know, not so much objectivity. But
always.
You busted clocks right twice a day, brother. The bottom line, though, is Ayuk should fire Ryan Williams because the Niners not only called their bluff, but whatever leverage they might have had in April and May is completely gone. It was gone the day of the draft or the day after the draft. And now he literally has no choice but to play this year. And I'm with Dibs. I think there's a good chance he's going to play this year. He's a fool if he doesn't. If this turns into a multi-game holdout where he starts forfeiting game checks, that's not only going to be bad for his wallet, but it's going to be terrible for his reputation and just how he's viewed on the team. Arguably the toughest position to get into camp late and learn and get up to speed is that quarterback-wide receiver relationship. So he needs to get his butt into camp ASAP, play on his very, very, I'm not going to say CS, and you can use CS, you know, that acronym for what you want. It's not a CS contract year he's playing off of. $14 million isn't a sneeze at, but if he balls out and has the same year he did last year, he'll get $30 million from somebody. He's not going to get that.
Yeah. He'll probably get $33
million
by next year.
Chicken salad is what he was talking about. Chicken salad. Thank you, Alan.
Do you have to be a homer?
I do. I do. So that's,
I like Alan praising you and then immediately taking a shot at you.
Yeah, that was a backdoor compliment if I've ever
it's
heard one
before. It's a Roger Federer.
It's totally fine.
It's a Roger Federer.
Anyway.
It's a backhanded compliment.
More on this coming up. We got some more phone calls to take. We'll get to you. But I'd like, imagine how ticked off Kyle Shanahan must be. Because, yeah, they're like, again, the 49ers still hold all the cards. Brandon can crater his career if the Niners just go, no. not trading you. But they're still going to trade him anyway. That's how mad they are. 888-957-9570. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? It's Willard and Dibs.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
What was on the menu? Seven steaks? Two whole chickens?
I went and got a giant Wagyu steak for him.
So I'm ecstatic about that.
On 95.7 The Game.
Mari Cooper is trending on Twitter.
Uh-oh. What does that mean?
It means a lot of people are talking about Mari Cooper.
Thanks, Mark.
That's, by the way,
I knew what it meant.
Yeah, no, but that's...
It's more of an open-ended.
That's
like,
how you'd like... If
you
would like
give me some context.
Well, I mean, if you'd
Dibs,
like...
I'll tell you what. It's Doc Mockford. Just random. Hashtag random.
Mary Kay Cabot tweeted 3 hours ago, video of Amari catching passes.
Okay.
And wrote, Browns Amari Cooper. Catching passes in the wake of trade rumors involving Brandon Ayuk. That's how you trend on Twitter. If you'd like, by the way, I'd like to tell all the other NFL teams out there this year, if you would like the media to come to your practice, there's one way to do it. You can involve your team in a rumor involving the 49ers. That's how you can be on the news. Other than that, this is the first thing I've heard from the Browns or the Patriots all year long.
Pretty much.
Does Deshaun Watson look good? Having a good camp. I know Nick Chubb's not ready yet. Anything else? Well, we got this report. Amari Cooper is here. He is here, and he is waiting to be traded to the 49ers for Brandon Ayuk. All right, thank you. Back to you.
Totally.
Not crazy, much going man. On. Crazy. They are the,
thanks.
They're the entire NFL news cycle right now. Let's go to Daryl in Milpitas. Hey, Daryl, thanks for calling Willie and Dibby. What's up?
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, man.
Just a couple of things. So I just want to say, you know, everyone's on BA's back around, you know, he's a baby, suck it up, XYZ. But I don't see the same energy when Bosa was holding out for his contract until the first game of the year. You know, everyone's, you know, on his back and whatnot. So I want to say keep that same energy. And then, you know, also just the reminder of the receivers Netflix thing that we watch. You know, Debo was getting hurt quite a bit, you know, last year, in and out of games or missing games or whatnot. So taking away, you know, a good threat like B.A., you know, that kind of scares me as a secondary Niners fan. And I don't want to see him go, but just remember, have the same energy for all the players that hold out and just keep it winning.
Well, Darryl, I think you have some very interesting points. Thanks for calling. But I would say that, no, we don't. The same energy does not go to every holdout because not every holdout's the same. And it sounds to me, again, you can feel however you want to feel about this. It appears that Kyle Shanahan is less bothered by people who hold out by staying home. I don't think he's bothered by Trent Williams right now. I don't think he was bothered by Nick Bosa last year. But
I think the only thing that bothers him is having to answer questions about it constantly.
But this
and
is
that's
different.
Just part of the business.
Brandon has been under everybody's nose the whole summer. Remember now, this started at exit interviews where all his people started throwing emojis on Instagram. Like, the team has just lost the Super Bowl. Everybody's in an awful mood. Everybody's got angst, anger, anxiety, all the A's.
Nice.
And Brandon's in the parking lot at Levi's with his girl being like, now that's the end of that. See ya. I got to think that probably didn't sit well with people in the organization. Now, you can be mad about that if you want. You can call it unfair. Nick Bosa went into a holdout, and we never heard a thing. I'm not saying there's one way to do it. You can do it however you want to do it. But Nick Bosa's holdout, we didn't know the numbers.
No, we didn't. He was in his mom and dad's house.
There was no social media. Dude's eating omelets, working out.
That's all.
Brandon's throwing BS signs up on Instagram.
He's money talks and BS walks.
Levi Stadium gate screaming, let me in. Going on podcast, hanging out with Jaden Daniels all over the place. He's a hold-in. He shows up. He's walking around on the field at camp. So, different. That's more. That's going to get more energy because he's in our face more. We see him more. We hear him more.
Man, he can.
That's all.
He's holding in, which is different than holding out. And when you hold in, you're always going to be around. And so the coach is reminded by your very presence that you're there. So everyone is different. And I don't think that. Well, I personally know that we're not name calling Brandon Ayuk, and you know, ultimately, he has the right and the choice to do what he thinks is best for his career. And if he thinks that. You know, doing the things that he's done, he and his agent probably have a game plan on how they wanted to get this contract done. And I don't know if their game plan has changed. I don't know if their ask, how much money they wanted, has changed. What I do know is it's August and there's been no progress of late on a deal. So I don't think that Brandon is going to get what he initially would want from the 49ers. It doesn't seem like that is still a possibility.
That does not seem like a possibility. It would have happened by now. But I don't always know. You know, we have conversations for 4 hours. I don't know how it always comes off. I'm not like Team Niners here or Team Ayuk. I'm not against the way Brandon's handling this. Brandon's allowed to go get what Brandon wants. I think the 49ers totally miscalculated this. I think that this is a negative on both sides. I don't think anybody nailed this. The Niners didn't nail this. If this is the way they wanted it to go, you do it in April. You don't do this in August. That's a total miscalculation on their part. I'm surprised that that Brandon has kind of used whatever buttons he can try to push to force what it sounds like is about to happen, but that hasn't even happened yet. If he ends up in New England and makes $4 million more than he would have made here, I would.
Maybe that makes him happy.
Maybe that makes you happy. Great.
Yeah.
Then you get to do that. I would, if I were an advisory role, I would suggest against it, but that's me. And I don't really know what and when he was offered. Again,
and I don't know what makes him tick. Maybe being as high as he can on that average annual value wide receiver list, maybe that's really important to him. And he can't stomach the possibility of making less than Michael Pittman Jr. or Jalen Waddle or all these other guys that he thinks he's better than. Maybe that's so important to him that he can't possibly stomach the reality of that, of settling for $24 million a year.
Yeah, I mean, at a certain point, a lot of people that we watch play sports, you know, that kind of stuff gets in the way for some people. Like, I know plenty of people, obviously, we've all heard them on the air here at 95.7 The Game over the last year and a half, watching Klay Thompson. At a certain point, it became bothersome to people that he's so sensitive. But he's sensitive. I don't think that's like a bad characteristic in people. It doesn't always play well in professional sports because everybody's supposed to be so macho.
Totally.
You know, like, it doesn't. It doesn't play well. It comes off as like it feels weak and all of that, but it's actually a characteristic that in regular life is usually a pretty good thing. I do think Brandon is more sensitive than maybe Debo or Fred Warner or George Kittle or Nick Bosa. We've even heard that all offseason. Brandon is taking this personally. Some people compartmentalize, some can't. I have no issue with anything that he's doing and trying to get what he wants. But I'm free to have the opinion that I think both sides are going to lose.
Yeah,
that's what I think.
I don't know what he really wants, what his end game is, so I can't say if he's going to lose or not. If he wants every last dollar and he wants to be somewhere else, then maybe he ends up winning. And if the Niners want to have the best team they can possibly have, then you keep Brandon Ayuk. And so if that's no longer possible based on how negotiations have gone and where they are here on August 6th, and they end up losing Brandon Ayuk, they trade Brandon Ayuk, well then, yeah, the 49ers lose that part of it.
It's funny, too, because don't you think, like, in pro sports, we're used to the idea that, like, we don't care about your politics, we don't care about some of your background. If you can help us win, if you're the best player, boom. Well, we're watching now, twice this year, players we know well who have achieved great things in this city basically be let go or moved, at least potentially, by their teams because of their attitude. Like, in the end, the Warriors moved on from Klay because he was just, like, he was too angry. There was too much going on behind the scenes. They're like, this has become just a negative experience for him, for us.
Yeah, I don't know if we're at that point with Brandon Ayuk.
Now, I mean, I would argue that if we all agree he makes the Niners best by being here, and he's under contract, that then the 49ers would keep him. Unless they felt like this attitude has reached a point where they no longer like having him around.
Yeah, maybe it's, you know, just him having to stomach the idea of playing on a fifth-year option. And if that is him having a bad attitude, well, then that's a lot of players in the NFL. And I don't fault him for not wanting to play on a fifth-year option.
No, neither do I. But I'm assessing that this is their assessment. Because if they thought that, well, dude, we don't care what his attitude is, he's the best player for us. Great, then keep him. Keep him.
Yeah, and they might end up doing that.
They might. Feels unlikely.
Well, fifth-year option is still a good fallback plan for them. If none of these trades are tenable for the 49ers, they can just, you know, have them come back and play.
Yeah, absolutely.
Come play football.
What do you got coming up here in a minute, Grandy? What are you doing?
If anyone missed Kyle Shanahan's full comments from training or from Santa Clara earlier today, you'll hear that. You'll hear you guys on the crossover with Stanion Guru as well.
Okay. Yeah. There it is. That's the best of the game today, and it's with Mark Grandy. And it's brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Who knows? I mean, you think he's still on the team when we get here tomorrow?
Yes.
I do, too.
Yes.
I don't know why.
I just don't. Kyle said something today in closing about he doesn't see the urgency. I think we feel a lot more urgency than the 49ers
do. Well, maybe he meant, like, the urgency of getting whoever that wide receiver is going to be ready to roll. I didn't know what he meant.
That'll happen anyway.
Well,
I thought he meant like getting resolution on this Ayuk thing.
Well,
whatever.
Right. Yeah. You want to do it again tomorrow?
Only if we talk about Brandon Ayuk.
Okay, I'm in.
All right, me too.
For Dibs for Grandy.
Nice.
For Lucas, for Carter, for everybody, for all of you. I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. It's all you got.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.